chapter 4, and it's a story that I'm sure many of us will be probably fairly familiar with, but I'm hoping that my thoughts may be along a different channel for once. We'll see. John chapter 4, Jesus talks to the woman at the well. I'm reading from the New Living, so if my translation is slightly different to yours, don't worry. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though he himself didn't baptize, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well at noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," she replied. And Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim that it is here on Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Just then the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it is true. I send you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman said, he told me everything I did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in the village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Saviour of the world. Amen. A few weeks ago, when Stuart asked me if I would speak, apart from knees knocking and everything else, which they do after a while, I wondered what on earth I should think about and what I should bring this evening. Then Stuart went into 3 sermons on assurance, considering assurance and what it means to us. Just after one of those, I actually read that chapter, John 4, and it got me thinking. And I was wondering where on earth this was going to go. But I looked at the story, and as I say, it's a familiar story. Anyone that's been in the church for a long time, which I'm trying not to think about how long that is, but you get to know it, and you get a bit familiar with it. Now, this chapter comes hot on the heels of Jesus talking to Nicodemus, another conversation just between 2 people, Jesus and one other. They're 2 very different conversations, though. Completely different ends of the spectrum. Nicodemus, somebody who's very intelligent, very, very high up in the church, knows everything that's going on, and then the woman at the well. Completely the other end of the spectrum. It starts as Jesus is walking his way back to Jerusalem. A long, hard, dusty walk. A journey that Jews didn't like taking. Because the obvious way of going was through Samaria. And the Samaritans and the Jews didn't talk to each other. And as I read that, and it's a fact I've heard time and time again, I thought to myself, why exactly didn't they like each other? What was it about? Let's look back at it. And not surprisingly, you look back into the Old Testament. And as I said to someone this morning, we can't preach on the New Testament and ignore the Old. Because you can't have the new without the old. This one goes back to roughly 1 Kings 12, about 1,000 years before Jesus, give or take a few. Solomon's just died. Tensions in the country. Ooh, yeah. Whether it was like today here, I don't know. But the northern and southern kingdoms had separated. The northern kingdom had been annexed by the Assyrians and been filled with foreigners. Sound familiar? Not surprisingly, over the years, it led to intermarriage. So the Jews that were left, the Jewish nation that was left there, were intermingling and they were intermarrying with the Assyrians. So the Samaritans as a nation are a mixed race. The Jews looked down their noses at them. Didn't like them at all. Now, the village of Sychar, where they had arrived, as it said, there was a well there known as Jacob's Well, and it was on a piece of land that Jacob had given Joseph. Now, I do gather that Jacob's Well is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. I don't know if Stuart will confirm that. I haven't actually checked it thoroughly, but I don't know of another mention of it. But that's fine. So this meeting between Jesus and this Samaritan woman was quite an important one, really, wasn't it? Firstly, Jewish men, didn't talk to Samaritan women. They certainly didn't talk to a woman outside. Both extremely taboo. A man wouldn't talk to a woman unless it was probably not even his wife, outside. Thirdly, the locals actually knew a lot about this woman. They knew where she'd come from, what she was up to. Bit of a checkered history. Did that bother Jesus? Well, no, it didn't. Jesus was a revolutionary. Quite a thing to say, but it's perfectly true. He held conversation with Samaritans. He had tea with tax collectors. His disciples were a motley bunch, as Stuart mentioned this morning. They were really a crowd, weren't they? People's origins, what they were, didn't matter to him. It was what was going on inside that mattered to him. This was also midday. So it's the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day. Now, nobody goes to collect water in the middle of the day. Silly time to do it, morning and evening when it's a bit cooler. This woman goes lunchtime because that's the only time she can go and save face. Because if she goes when the other women go, she knows she's in trouble. So he's sitting there, she comes along and he asks her for a drink. Wow, can you imagine the conversation? Jesus starts the conversation by asking her for a drink. Now, I mean, that was completely unheard of as well. Her response was a bit of a surprise. But the response that she had when Jesus replied to her, "If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." Now, here he is sitting at the well, tired, dusty, nothing in his hands, no way he was going to reach down to the well. He knew what he was talking about, she didn't. Jesus wasn't talking about physical water, but spiritual water. But the idea of not having to go back to the well, ever, because of living water, she won't have to go, well, can you imagine how she felt? What a fantastic opportunity. She's not going to turn this one down. I'm not going to have to run the gauntlet of all the women ever again. But she didn't understand what living water was. She throws a question at him, which at first I thought, well, it's a little bit of a strange question in some ways, because she asks him about why do the Jews insist on worshipping in Jerusalem when the Samaritans insist on Mount Gerizim. Now, is that a serious question? Looking at various commentaries on this one, it might be, it might not be. Was it a serious question that she was asking, or was it a smokescreen to take the emphasis away from her and what she was doing? I can't say definitely on that. I think there's probably only one person that could say definitely whether it was a smokescreen or not, and she's not here to tell us. But Jesus replied, "But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Jesus is looking for what's going on in our hearts, not necessarily what's coming out of our mouths. They're not necessarily the same. Be we Jewish, Samaritan, whatever. Now, in this story, there's various reactions. The woman's reaction to Jesus, her first reaction, her main reaction is to, she's a bit taken back because he speaks her language. Well, he speaks to her. He doesn't reject her, he speaks her language. She understands what he's saying. She listens to him, and immediately she runs back into the town. The town full of people that hate her, don't want to speak to her. She knows that. She knows she's been ostracized by them, but she goes back because she wants to tell them what's happened. She wants to tell them who she's met with and what he's done. Just about that time, the disciples come back, but what's their reaction to this conversation? It's completely the opposite, isn't it? Well, what's he doing? You can't go talking to her. She's a Samaritan. She's a sinner. She's a nasty person. Ooh. But nobody dared actually ask him why he was speaking to her or what he was saying. Now, did they have... what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit of bias, perhaps? Do we have a bias? We'll come to that. But he then knows exactly what they're thinking. He knows where they're coming from. As so often he does, we hear so many times that the Pharisees are talking behind his back, but he knows what they're saying. They're thinking, they don't even have to say it, he knows. He talks to them about the harvest. And it's interesting that Chris should be talking about the harvest. Harvest that missionaries are harvesting now. And they don't understand him either. But what about the third? There's a third group involved in this. There's the Samaritans in the town. Because she runs back and she goes and tells them, "He's told me everything I've ever done." Now, that must have been quite a hard thing for her to say in some ways, to admit she knows she's wrong. But to actually try and talk to them and explain that he explained things to her that never been explained before. First thing, she left her jar at the well. She left her jar at the well and ran into town. Now, I was going to say, how daft is that? The reason she'd gone to the well in the first place was to get the water. But that was immaterial then. She believed, in fact, the Samaritans believed that the Messiah was coming. The Messiah was expected. But nobody quite knew what to expect, really. Their reaction, though, was interesting, wasn't it? As she came back to the well, they came with her. That was quite a challenge. We mustn't underestimate their reaction, you know, because what did she do? She knew where she stood as far as they were concerned, but she still went back and told them. She explained what it was about, and they listened to her. And this is a woman that had been ostracized, and yet she went back and they listened. And they came out, and they got excited, and they asked him to stay. Well, even better, stay as long as you can. And Jesus stayed for a couple of days. And he spoke to them. He taught them, as he did wherever he went. And a lot of them believed. This is Samaria. This is the last place it should be happening. Incidentally, from here, Jesus goes on to his hometown, which, as he actually says, is a place where a prophet is never accepted. And that's another story. But there's my thoughts actually looking at those people, the Samaritan woman, the disciples, the Samaritans themselves, their reaction to the message of Jesus was amazing. So what's our reaction today? Where does that leave us? Do we get excited? Do you get excited at the thought of giving your faith away, giving your testimony, as we had this morning? If you were here this morning, wasn't it fantastic? It was an absolutely amazing morning for people standing up and giving their testimony as to what Jesus has done. Don't underestimate it. For a long time, as you probably know, I've spent sort of 7 years standing on the platform in the Salvation Army preaching. And I always, yes, it's an experience. But one thing I always said, and I still say, and I will probably always say, is for me, standing on the platform or in a pulpit or out the front or wherever, as a minister of the gospel, people expect you to preach to them. If you don't, they think there's probably something wrong. To you, who's going to work tomorrow, wherever you work, unless you're... Stuart's all right, he's back in the office, presumably, but where you work, people will be looking at you. They will be following you. They will be watching you. And to actually stand up for your faith and say what you believe there, actually, I'd rather be standing on the platform. I think it's easier. I have no underestimation for anybody having to live their faith at work. I've done it, and I know how nerve-wracking it can be. But the important thing is this message that Jesus was giving the woman, that he gave to the Samaritans, the reactions that he was getting, they are amazing reactions. They are incredible reactions. It's faith. What is faith? What is faith to us? Faith is personal. I grew up in a Christian family, and I know one or two people said that this morning as well. But my father, who was a deacon for 25 years and Sunday school superintendent or secretary for 35 or whatever, he couldn't give me my faith. That was my decision. The decision that we make is ours. It's personal. What a fantastic message we've been given. Do we always think, the moment we see somebody, oh, I must go and give them my testimony. I mean, we see somebody fresh that we haven't spoken to. Probably not. I want to finish with a little bit of a story that I heard, I couldn't even tell you how long ago now, but it was about a particular person. Now, I can't remember whether this was a man or a woman. I seem to think it was a woman. People had been talking to her about Jesus, and she for years she'd put it off. She said, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. I can't make a decision. Because if I make a decision, I'm going to have to go and tell my next door neighbour. And I can't do that. I can't speak to people. And then one day somebody spoke to her and said, no, you don't. You don't have to go and see and speak to your neighbour and tell them what it's all about and what's happened and all the rest. You don't have to go and do that. And she looked at him and I think I say she, don't I? He said, no, you don't have to. At that point, she accepted Jesus into her life. And do you know what the first thing was she did? She went to her neighbour and told them. Because she wasn't alone. She was given the message that God loves her. Given the same message that we've got today, that God loves us. Loves us enough to send his son who was prepared to die for us. Because we will never be alone again. Matthew 28, verse 18. Again, verses, I can remember learning these for the Scripture Union Scripture exam when I was about 8. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter where we are, how we feel, whether we are on cloud 9 or the bottom of the Marianas Trench, whatever you like, wherever we are, God is with us. He will always be there. Whatever. Wherever we are, however we feel. Do you feel blessed by that? I think we should do. Shouldn't we feel blessed? We should feel blessed by all sorts of things, but we're not. But this message that Jesus gave to the woman at the well, it's the same message that we've got today. Nothing different. Our job, if you like, is to go and tell other people that we meet. What a fantastic privilege that is. Let's just pray a minute. Father, as we come, as we're here this evening, we've just listening and thinking about your word and what it was that you said to that woman at the well. What difference that made to her. What difference that made to the town that she was in. They came out eager to hear more about you, eager to hear more of your message. Lord, we just pray that as we go out from here and we go to work tomorrow, wherever it might be, that you will go with each of us, that you will give us the confidence. Give us the confidence that we can do whatever it is that you're asking. We can't do it in our strength, no, but we can do it in yours. Help us to remember that and help us to really just be excited about the news that we have. Lord, we just help us to show your love to everyone we meet, however and wherever and whenever that might be, because we ask it in your name, Lord. Amen.